I will now ask for your kind attention as Brother John speaks to us on the subject, how can I be saved from death?
Good morning, everyone. First of all, apologies. If you come here thinking Rob Newman's going to come, Rob is brilliant at timekeeping. Unfortunately, he's not very good on dates, and he turned up last week. The Bible talk this morning is in the form of a question, and it's a personal question. It's how can I be saved from death? And perhaps it's a question that each of us should be asking ourselves, assuming, of course, that that we want to know what happens to us when we die. We don't want to die, and obviously if we do die, we don't want to remain in the grave forever. Now here we are, another Sunday. Traditionally this is the first day of the week. The weeks come and go very quickly. Today is the 5th of May, so we're over the third of the way now through 2019. Do you feel sometimes like life is like a never-ending cycle? I can see obviously that some people in here are retired. Some people obviously go to work. I don't know if anybody goes to university or college. I can't see anybody of school age in here. But normally these events are like a Monday to Friday thing. You have a weekend break and then Monday morning comes round very quickly and you're back to work, university, college, what have you. Really, I suppose we could say that we live our lives from day to day. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the weeks ahead. I've got a few things planned this week. I don't know if they will happen as I imagine. I certainly can't tell you what will happen to you, but there is one thing I am completely certain about, and it is the teaching of this book, the Bible. This is God's word, and it explains God's plan and purpose. Now, if you're a sad individual like me, and you interested in facts and figures, perhaps I can give you a few concerning the Bible. The Bible was written over a period of 1500 to 1600 years by 40 individual writers over that period of time, ranging from kings right the way down to shepherds, fishermen, and even a tax collector. The Bible's in two parts. It's in the Old and the New Testament. It contains 66 books. There's 39 in the Old and 27 in the New. And as we said, it's been recorded over that time period. These 40 individual writers are actually recording God's word. It's God who gave them the word. So there is one author of the Bible, and that is the Lord God himself. And interestingly enough, when you read through the Bible, over 3,000 times you get the phrase coming up, "Thus saith the Lord," indicating that these individual writers are writing down the words that God has given them. This is God's word. And as we said, it's his message to you and I, and it explains his plan and purpose. And God does have a plan and purpose with this earth, because God tells us that one day this earth will reflect his glory. Now, that is not the case at the moment, is it? We only have to think about the problems we have in this country. I'm not talking just about whether we're going to stay in the European Union or come out of it. what has been prevalent over the last few months is knife crime. It seems up and down the country, people are being stabbed all the time. It's a terrible thing that's going on. We only have to think a few days ago in India, they had winds of 125 miles an hour. That caused a lot of destruction. A few weeks back, people going about their normal business in Sri Lanka were murdered by terrorists. And these are just a few of the things that go on in the world today. There are things, wars, there are troubles in Venezuela, in many other countries in the world. So clearly, this earth at the moment does not reflect the glory of God. But God has promised through his word that one day it will. And that glory will be reflected through men and women who give God pleasure in serving him. We're probably sitting there thinking at the moment, what on earth has this got to do with living your lives from day to day? Well, if we turn to that, if you're still open at that chapter that Martin read for us at the beginning, Acts chapter 17. We're not going to read all the verses again. It's the apostle speaking. And again, this is in the New Testament, it's still God's word. God has caused the apostle Paul to write these words so that we in our day can understand God's plan and purpose. We can read it for ourselves. That's why God has had this message recorded for us. And Paul says in the 31st verse of that 17th chapter that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And Paul is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he, God, hath ordained, and God has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised Jesus from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the assurance that God has given to all men and women on this planet that he has set a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. So there's a set time and a day when everything will change for everyone. And I believe that day is not too far away. If you turn back in the New Testament to the Gospel record of Mark in the 13th chapter, and the 32nd verse, just as I said at the outset, I can't tell you what's going to happen to you this week, in the future, this day. So, we are told here that of that day that God has set, the day in which he's going to judge the world, of that day, verse 32, and that hour, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, no man knoweth. No, says Jesus, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. And he's speaking of himself. So when Jesus spoke these words, even he at this time did not know when he was to return to the earth to set God's kingdom up for that day that God has appointed. Neither the Son, but the Father. Only the Father knew. Only God knows. So there is a day which is yet to arrive when all the normal routine of this world will come to an end. And it will be a day when God sets up his kingdom on the earth to be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus' followers. And in that day, they would have been saved from death. You know, there's a great deal of misunderstanding in the world today regarding death, what death is. And yet the Bible speaks in very clear terms regarding this subject. There are numerous scriptures which we could go to. We're going to pick just a few in the Old Testament. We're going to look, first of all, at the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament and the 9th chapter. And we're just going to read a few verses there just to show what death is. And interestingly enough, we're really looking at verses 5 and 6, but verse 1 for connection. The writer says, "Therefore, all this I considered in my heart, and even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." So everything is in God's hand. So yes, there may be turmoil in the world today, and the world does not reflect God's glory, yet God is still in control. God rules in the kingdoms of men. And the writer goes on to say in verse 2, "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous, one to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to those that sacrifice not. As is the good, so is the sinner," says the writer, "he that sweareth and he that feareth an oath." There's all one thing that happens to them all. Verse 5, the writer goes on to say, "The living know that they shall die." Well, I mean, we're aware of that, aren't we? We know that one day, if the Lord remains away, we will die. And we will end up in the grave. And that's why we're giving this talk today. How can we be saved from eternity in the grave? And the death state? What does it go on to say about the death state? "Well, the dead know not anything," says the writer. "Neither have they any more a reward. The memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." That's the death state. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Just turn back just a few pages to the 3rd chapter. Again, very familiar words, or very similar words. Again, we're looking at verses 19 and 20, but just for connection, verse 17, the writer says there, again, speaking God's words, "I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked." So God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. And there it's confirmed for us in the Old Testament, well before Paul wrote his words in the New Testament. "I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked." God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And the writer goes on to say, regarding the death state, he says, "That which befalleth befalleth the sons of men," verse 19, "befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. All is vanity, all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all return to dust again." No difference between the animal kingdom and men and women. The same thing, says the writer, will happen to them all. One day they will all die, and they will all go back to dust in the grave that they are placed in. And just finally on this, if we turn to these Psalms, 146 Psalm. Okay, we have to move on very quickly. The writer there in the Psalms, 146, he gives the advice. He says in verse 2, "While I live, will I praise the Lord." And that's what we should do. We should praise God while we have an existence, while we live. Because he says in verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He's saying there, don't trust in men. They can't save you. And yet, we know the advancement in technology of the medical profession today. Doctors can do amazing things in surgery. They can do wonderful things. And there are many drugs that keep people alive. I may be wrong, I've not heard of anybody in modern times living beyond 130 years. No. So don't trust in man. Man can't save you. And 130 years, well, we said, didn't we, at the outset, here we are, 5th of May, third of the way through 2019, it's gone in a flash. Snap of the fingers, 130 years will disappear. So don't trust in man, says the writer. No, he says, verse 4, regarding the situation of death, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. So that's the death state. The dead know not anything. When they die, their breath disappears and they perish back in the earth. They return to the earth. It's another subject completely, and we won't have time to go into it at all, but we don't have an immortal spirit, and that is not taught anywhere in the Bible. We don't go to heaven when we die. Again, it's not taught in the Bible. We just turn back into dust in the grave that we are placed in. Now, death sounds very frightening, doesn't it? I believe that it is. Death sounds very final. Well, if you have no hope, I believe death is very frightening. That's why time is of the essence. God's appointed day has been set. So how can we be saved from death? We'll ask Martin if he would kindly take our second reading, which is from the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and verses 25 to 34.
Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Thank you, Martin. But as we said, death is our natural state, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But there is one who can do something about it, and that is God. God has caused his good news to be published in his book. And as we said at the outset, it's a remarkable book. It's his word. The gospel, the good news, records the message of salvation that is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. The gospel is God's invitation, and salvation from death is the gift of the God of the Bible. It's His alone. I suppose the question arises, will everyone be saved? Well, let's let Jesus answer that question for us, shall we? If we turn to Matthew's Gospel record in the 7th chapter, and the 13th verse. Jesus says there, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." So that's Jesus. That's Jesus' advice. There's a broad way and a wide gate, and loads of people are going to destruction through that. But there is a narrow gate, a narrow way, which leads to life. And only a few, says Jesus, will find that. You know, salvation incorporates Jesus knowing us and we knowing him. And salvation is only gained through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel record in the 17th chapter, it's recorded there. Jesus says these words. He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So salvation is only gained through Jesus. And as we said, it incorporates us knowing Jesus and we knowing him. And the only place we can do that is through the Word of God. Now, for time, I've cut a few verses out for the time because we're just going to run out of time, unfortunately. The evidence from the highest source, though, is therefore that there's only one way, one road, one door which leads to salvation. And that road, way, or door is Christ himself. So how can we be saved from death? Well, if you're still in those verses that Martin, or if you turn back to that verses Martin read for us, the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, here we're given some instructions on what we have to do. And we're not going to read them all again. Paul and his companion Silas were arrested, put into prison. The jailer was charged with keeping them safe. The jailer was told, if you let them go, you're going to die. We're going to put you to death. At midnight, there was an earthquake. All the prison doors were opened. Chains fell off the prisoners. The jailer thought to himself, they must have all run away and escaped. Just about to kill himself when Paul told him, no. He said, we're still all here. And so the jailer says to Paul and Silas, verse 30, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved from death?" And what did the apostle Paul and Silas say to him? Well, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. So Paul and Silas, to put it simply, they explained God's plan and purpose centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke to him regarding Jesus. They gave the jailer knowledge of God's plan and purpose, that God has set a day when Jesus will come back to the earth. And the jailer was required to believe these things. And upon him receiving that knowledge and believing those things that Paul and Silas had spoken to him, the next step was verse 33. Towards the end of it, the jailer and all his house were baptized. He and his straightway. Baptism is the answer. That's how we can be saved from death, through baptism. Now, these things are done by the Apostle Paul. We're not a unique set of instructions. They occur a number of times in Scripture. If you go back, we'll just pick one of them. If you go back to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, this time we're looking at the words of the Apostle Peter. But again, Peter's writing these words and speaking these words under the guidance and instruction of the Lord God himself. This is God's message. And in chapter 2, Peter's in Jerusalem. He's speaking to the men of Israel, and he's giving them a discourse, and he's explaining to them regarding salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the time period is after Jesus had been taken. He had been crucified and placed in the grave, but God has raised him from the grave to eternal life. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that Jesus then appeared to his followers and spoke to them for 40 days, speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God, that kingdom that is to come upon the earth, that kingdom that will one day reflect God's glory, which is his plan and purpose, through men and women who have understood his word, believed it, and been baptized. And so Peter speaks to the men of Israel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and he actually finishes his talk in verse 36. He cuts them to the quick, really, because he says to them, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified." He tells them plainly, you handed Jesus over to the Romans and they crucified him. In effect, you crucified Jesus. But God, at the end of that verse, has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. And so, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, cut to the heart by these comments. And they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, apostles, what shall we do? And so Peter goes on to say, he tells them, he gives them the same instruction as the Apostle Paul. He says, repent, verse 38, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And we read verse 40, with many other words did Peter testify and exhort. The word was spoken to them. The word was spoken to them. They were given knowledge. They were explained God's plan and purpose with the earth by the Apostle Peter. And what was their reaction? Verse 41, they that gladly received his word, those who believed. So the word was spoken to them. They believed. And what next? Well, continuing verse 41, they were baptized. Baptism again. And on that day, we're told, 3,000 individuals joined the believers in Christ. Baptism is your formal acceptance of God's invitation through the gospel message. Baptism is all important, and baptism is so significant and symbolic. We have not got time to turn to, but if you looked at Romans chapter 6, it would tell you that it associates the believer with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Christ was crucified and placed in the grave, so the believer enters the waters of baptism and is totally immersed in water. And just as God raised Jesus up out of the grave to eternal life, so the believer comes up out of the water and begins a new life in Christ, serving God. So how can we be saved from death? Well, we must understand and believe those things which God has caused to be written in his word. We must read it and believe it and take action to ensure we are following the commandments and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can enter into that narrow way, that narrow door or gate, which leads to life, to salvation. And we must repent, have a change of heart and mind. Not go in our former ways, but begin a new life in Christ, serving God. And we must be baptized. Well, time is completely gone. I'd just like to finish with two quick, very quick verses. The first one being from Mark chapter 16. And these are the words of Jesus this time. And as I say, we'll be very quick. But again, it's after Jesus has risen from the dead and appeared to his followers for 40 days, teaching them about things concerning the kingdom of God, teaching them God's plan and purpose. Jesus says to them in verse 15, his instruction was, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it doesn't need me to tell you what will happen to those who don't believe and are not baptized. I'll let you work that one out for yourselves. Finally, if we just continue in the New Testament over to the letter to the Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and we're going to finish on this verse. Now, it would be foolish of me to think in 30 minutes that I have completely convinced you regarding these things, but hopefully we have ignited a spark of interest within you that you will look further into these important matters and that you will take action for yourselves. Because the writer says there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, he says, without faith, so without belief and faith in this teaching, because salvation is all about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God. Without faith, the writer says, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that God exists, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him through a reading and understanding of his word. So how can we be saved from death? Well, we must read his word, we must believe it, and we must be baptized. Remember, God has set a day which is fast approaching, a day which he's going to judge this world in righteousness. And he has given assurance in that he has raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead to die no more. And that is the hope of every believer in Christ. Thank you for your time.